You know, before we get into the sermon today, I just want to say thank you. It's pretty crazy what God is doing here. I mean, you know, having Sunday school kick off, and I think our number is over 100 kids now registered, which is awesome. Yeah, praise God. There's going to be a couple things, but praise God. You know, having two services and a band step up and learn a whole new system. I know they're trying to get it all down, and they're doing a great job. Even picked up some new band members, so praise God for that. And with two services, just all the volunteers. We had to double everything for a Sunday morning to just be pulled off. And with all of the new Sunday school classes, multiple Sunday school teachers and subs and all of that. And so just praise God. Praise God for what he is doing. But I'm going to challenge you. Why did we go to two services? Not just because we're full and cramped and we wanted to fill more volunteer roles, but that we'd actually have a couple empty seats to fill, to invite, to welcome others in, to hear this wonderful message. And so now you have the opportunity. And if you feel a little cramped here, the other service was lighter. I mean, you can go to that one as well. There's plenty of empty room so that we can let God do more. Because I think there is a great need. Well, obviously there's a great need. But there's a great hunger for his word as well. The world might be moving away from God and from his ways, but there is an underlying current, I think. And we need to be out there as his people proclaiming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. This is your work and your work alone. And so we praise you. We thank you. We thank you that you are raising up servants, that you are raising up volunteers so that all of this can go forth. Lord, I ask that you would be with this church and bless it as you have in the past in ways that are even kind of mind-blowing for us. Lord, allow us to be your church. Speak to us now. Allow us to hear your word, to trust in you, and be changed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you probably said it. You might have heard it. God's got plans for you. God's got plans for you. You know, something might not be going the way you think, or things have happened, or a loved one has passed away, or financial things have changed. And for comfort, for strength, someone says, or even you say to yourself, God's got a plan for you. So true. Maybe you think of Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I love how in this verse he says plans. Not a plan, you know, that if I sin or I go off or I go a different way than what God wants me to do, then I'm on some kind of alternate timeline. No, God has plans. I use this passage to preach a wedding sermon for my mother, who was marrying her husband now, but they both lost spouses to cancer. God has plans. It's just an amazing thing that, yeah, one plan might have ended and all of this, but God has plans for us. My favorite Christian band, Ren Collective, just came out with a new album. One of the main songs on that album is Plans. The chorus is, you've got plans for me, and it repeats a couple times, bigger than my wildest dreams, stronger than the enemy, you've got plans. God's got a plan for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, know this, that God has got a plan for you. If you question, I think you have to only do one thing to know that God has a plan. You know, I think it's take two fingers like this and kind of do this, and when you feel that pulse, then you know you're alive and God's got a plan. God's got a plan. But it's not just when we struggle in our own kind of world, our life, that we know God's got a plan. We can look at the world around us, right? And we can see how it's not maybe going the way we would think. It's hard to believe. 21 years ago in the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, you know, were hit by planes and everything changed. And talking with Holly and Nate after the first service, and it was 3 or 4 days before their wedding, and having to deal with all of that and people getting, it was just crazy. You know, the world isn't what we think it is, or it just kind of has issues and it's not all perfect. Had another member I was talking to a couple days ago. They said they were driving in downtown St. Paul and they came up to a stoplight and there was two guys walking up to another guy at the street corner and they started beating him. And they wanted to help, but the one guy that was attacking kind of kept reaching into his jacket and they didn't know if he had a gun. The people at the bus stop right down the road just grabbed their phones and started filming, you know? It's not always what we want. This world has mistakes. This world isn't good. This world is broken. And sure, I think we're more divided now maybe than we are, have ever been in my lifetime. And even as a Bible-believing Christian, it seems like what the world is pushing, what the world lifts up as good, is not what God's Word does. And so how do we all come? What's going to happen? Well, we need to know that God has a plan, not just for you, but for all things. And it's a good plan. And to kind of help us kind of wrap our mind around that, I found a video that I want to show you. It's a couple minutes just to kind of get what God is doing and God is about.
I think my first apartment was nicer than this.
Chuck and Charmaine are looking for a fixer-upper here in Waco, Texas, in a neighborhood called the Sanger Heights area.
We've shown them three houses. Two of the houses cost more but require less renovation. One house is a complete wreck, but it gives them the most opportunity to make it exactly what they wanted.
We went back and forth, some heated exchanges. In the end, we went for the ghost house?
What would we call it?
The catastrophe house?
Yeah, you called it the catastrophe house.
It's really hard to imagine it being something new and beautiful. I trust Joanna. I know she's been able to turn crappy into happy, and I'm hoping that she can do that with this house.
Are you guys ready to see your fixer-upper?
Let's go.
Oh my God.
Is this the same house?
Oh man. That's incredible.
Wow.
There were so many elements of this house that when you ripped off the porch, which was in complete disarray, and the landscape and the trees.
I'm not hearing a word you're saying. It's beautiful.
It really is.
Everything is awesome. I can't believe it.
Of course, you can watch the whole thing. Go find it online somewhere. You know, but it reminds me of Texas. We had to drive by their house every time going into Waco. Never met them. One time they pulled out in front of us and Jesse's like, speed up, I gotta wave at them. I said, no, they're normal people. But notice what they did. Total restoration. I think they called it, she said something, but a catastrophe house. And I don't know, I watched the video a couple times in preparation. I think that was even a dead animal on the floor at one point, and the walls were falling. And they didn't just go, and they didn't just kind of fix a bathroom. They didn't just go and put some carpet down or tear off just the porch. Everything. $100,000 remodeling budget. But everything was fixed. And while they might be great restorers, and people might watch them on TV, they have nothing on God. They have nothing on God. God, the Almighty God, is a God of restoration. He restores our lives and the brokenness, but he restores this world as well. And he is working. We might not always see him and we might not always know what he is about and what he is doing. And there might be times where we think he is very far off, but God is at work. God is doing this. And that's what Paul is telling us in this first chapter of Ephesians. He's saying about how God is bringing all things under Christ. The Greek is actually he's going to be re-headed, that he is going to be the head of all things again. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. So there was a mystery, and it was hidden. But at the right time, Christ came into this world. At the fullness of time, he was born of a woman. At the fullness of time, he died for us, even while we were sinners. And at the fullness of time, he rose again. And now the mystery is being told. The mystery is revealed. It is the wonderful gospel that Jesus died for you. It is Christ himself who comes to you and lives in you. It was according to his good pleasure. How do we know that we have God's good pleasure? Because we have been connected to him. I know I talk about this a lot and I go back to it a lot, but it's in baptism. It's that beginning of the road. You know, it's Christ in the Jordan, and there he comes up from the water after he went under. He comes up and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and the Father speaks, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," good pleasure, and that we are connected to that. In baptism, we are connected into Christ, that we now live in him and he lives in us. We are given the Holy Spirit, as Paul goes on to say, as a seal of this, that something more is coming. God is pleased in you because you are in Christ. Of course, it doesn't just stop with us. All things. To bring all things in heaven. He is restoring not just the porch, but all things. So first, it is our relationship with him. You know, thinking about Easter and Good Friday and all of that, this is the temple curtain has been torn in two. Now we have access to the Father. We don't have to sit back and wonder what God is doing and will he be mad at us? No, that has all been taken in Christ because of his death on the cross, so that we now can go to God. We now can approach the throne with confidence. We can call out to him as a father. But it doesn't stop there. We're gonna join in with the angels in singing. We're going to see them in front of us. We're going to see the heavens revealed that in the time in heaven and earth will be reconciled and it will be restored. This earth will be restored. That's hard to kind of believe, you know, but we know it's under a curse, right? We can go back to Genesis and we know that through sin, this world is wrecked. It's deteriorating. It's falling apart because of sin. And I know there's still some amazing days, right? Maybe it's you're up early one morning and you see that sunrise and it's just beautiful. And you're like, wow, thanks, God. Or maybe it's the sunset. You know, you don't get up as early, but maybe you're out there at night and you can see the sunset. Or it's been summertime, and I've heard a lot of stories of people traveling to different parks and, you know, this place, the Badlands, to, you know, to Grand Canyon, all over. And you're like, wow, you're just blown away at what God has done. Know that that's under the curse of sin, and that there is coming total restoration. It's going to be that great reveal as he shows us the new heavens and the earth, and it's going to be wow all the time because God is restoring. God is making new. And again, it's not just that even. It continues on. As God restores our relationship with him, he's going to also restore our relationship with others. I know we're sinners. I know we all have faults, and maybe there's even people that are sitting in this room that kind of rub you in the wrong way, or you've had an issue with them at one point, but God is restoring those relationships as well. Through Christ and his death on the cross, they are being restored, they are being renewed. And so you might as well forgive, you know, you might as well love and serve and care because in eternity, it's going to be that way forever. You're going to love and you're going to care, so might as well start now as God is in this restoration process to bring all things in heaven and earth under one head, Christ, under one. It, And I know this is the end of our reading, but it flows from the resurrection because he rose, because he conquered death, because he defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. He subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Christ is our head. Christ is the one who unites us. And we are in him, in his body, and he is our head. And so we are Christ, little Christ as we go forth proclaiming, glorifying him. He talks about that as well. Just as Israel went forth to glorify, now we as the church are to glorify God. That is our purpose. Because he is our head and all things are under him. All things. I love Ephesians, and I know probably when I first got here, I preached on a couple of Ephesians passages. But I just want to take some time over the next weeks and just kind of unpack Ephesians. Spend some weeks here. You know, and so we understand this mystery the more we are on that road and through Sunday school and through scripture readings and worship. And so I'm going to ask you, here's kind of your homework, is to go home and read Ephesians. It's 6 chapters. So maybe one chapter a night for the next week. Maybe even one of those nights you'll sit down and even pull it up on your phone if you don't like to read and listen to the whole thing as one letter. Paul sent it as one letter. But it's only 6 chapters. So just kind of be in it and we'll unpack it. Because what this means that he is putting all things under him and he is the head is now unpacked in the rest of the book. And so we're going to take time and we're going to look at that and we're going to do that. Because he is restoring all things. I know there are times when it doesn't look like it. Times where we struggle. But we know that God is the head of the church. That God is over all things. And so we trust him. And we know that not just in our lives, but in everywhere. Everything is going to be restored in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your son. And it's through his death that there is restoration, that there is life in him. And so we trust in you, we hope in you, even when we don't see it. When our lives are falling apart or the world around us is falling apart, we know that you have a plan. And so we follow you. Lord, let us walk with you in these days and trust in you, knowing that you are coming again to make all things new. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.